Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're venturing into a really pivotal legal decision out of Maine, the 1985 case of Tuttle v. Raymond.
That's right.
And this isn't just, you know, about a car accident. It's really about how the Maine legal system draws a line when it comes to punishing bad behavior with punitive damages. We're going to unpack what this case means for understanding when someone in Maine might have to pay more than just compensation for the harm they've caused.
Exactly. And while the facts, yeah, they involve a traffic accident, the legal principles that came out of Tuttle v. Raymond have, well, pretty far-reaching implications in Maine for any kind of civil case where punitive damages might be on the table.
Right.
Yeah. It really forces us to think about the difference between carelessness, you know, even extreme carelessness,
yeah,
and a more deliberate or egregious kind of wrongdoing.
Okay, so let's set the scene. Picture this. It's 1977, and Hattie Tuttle is a passenger in a car.
Uh-huh.
And that car gets absolutely hammered by another car driven by Ralph Raymond III. This wasn't just a minor thing.
No, definitely not.
Raymond was reportedly speeding, like, way over the limit in a 25-mile-or-under zone and blew right through a red light. The impact, I read, was pretty devastating.
Yeah, it really underscores the seriousness. I mean, the potential for harm when someone just ignores basic traffic safety like that. And as the case went on, Raymond didn't actually dispute that his actions caused the accident and Tuttle's injuries.
He admitted liability for that part.
He admitted liability, yeah.
Right. So the initial legal fight wasn't about whether Raymond was responsible for Hattie Tuttle's injuries. He conceded that point.
Mm-hmm.
The focus shifted to, okay, what kind of financial compensation does she get? The jury awarded her $50,000 in compensatory damages that's meant to cover, you know, medical bills, lost wages, stuff like that.
Standard stuff.
But then they also tacked on an extra $22,000 in punitive damages.
And that's the key part.
Yeah, and that's where the legal fireworks really started, because Raymond decided to appeal that specific part of the award. He basically argued Maine should either get rid of punitive damages entirely or, you know, at least make it much, much harder for juries to give them out.
His appeal really hit on two key arguments. First, he challenged the whole idea, the legitimacy of punitive damages under Maine law. Like, should they even exist?
A fundamental question.
Totally. And second, even if the court said, okay, they can exist, he argued that his conduct, what he did, just didn't rise to the level that justified hitting him with that extra financial penalty. So the Maine Supreme Judicial Court, that's the highest court in the state, had to really dig into these fundamental questions. You know, what's the purpose? How should we apply punitive damages?
So what was the ultimate answer then? Did Maine ditch punitive damages?
Yeah.
And what did they say about Raymond's driving, which was, let's be honest, pretty dangerous? Let's dive into the legal issues and what the court actually held.
Okay, so on that first point, getting rid of punitive damages, the court was quite clear. They decided against abolishing them in Maine.
So they stuck around.
They stuck around. The court reaffirmed their place as a legitimate part of the state's legal system. They recognize that punitive damages serve a couple of important purposes. One, they act as a punishment for truly, you know, reprehensible behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe even more importantly, they're meant to deter others from doing similar things in the future. So the concept itself, it survived the challenge.
Okay, so punitive damages are still on the books in Maine. But my understanding is the court did make a pretty significant change to how they're awarded going forward, right?
Absolutely. Huge change. While they upheld the idea of punitive damages, this is where Tuttle v. Raymond really made its mark. The court established a brand new, much stricter standard plaintiffs have to meet to get punitive damages in Maine.
Right.
From that point on, the court declared, a plaintiff would have to prove, and this is key, by clear and convincing evidence that the defendant acted with malice.
Malice. Okay, that sounds like it goes way beyond just being careless or making a mistake.
Yeah.
How did the court actually define malice here?
Well, they gave a two-pronged definition, express malice and implied malice. Express malice is fairly straightforward. It means someone shows actual ill will towards another person, like a clear intention to cause them harm.
Okay, like they meant to do it.
Right. Implied malice is a bit more nuanced. The court said it applies when someone's conduct is so outrageous.
Outrageous.
Yeah, so outrageous that you can infer or imply a malicious intent just from the nature of their actions. It's conduct that's so far beyond the bounds of what's acceptable that it suggests, you know, a complete disregard for the safety and well-being of others.
Okay, so it's either showing they specifically wanted to cause harm or what they did was just so unbelievably bad that you can basically assume they didn't care if harm resulted. Like, it implies malice.
That's a good way to put it. Now, here's a really critical point, and this is the key to why Raymond actually won his appeal on the punitive damages part. The court explicitly stated that recklessness, even really serious recklessness that has terrible consequences, is not sufficient to meet this new malice standard.
Yeah.
This is the real crux of the Tuttle v. Raymond decision.
Wait a second, though. Raymond was speeding through a red light in a residential area. I mean, that sounds like the definition of reckless to me. How did the court say that wasn't enough for punitive damages under this new rule?
And that is the really crucial distinction the court drew. They absolutely acknowledged that Raymond's driving was, without a doubt, reckless, undeniably dangerous.
Yeah.
However, they concluded that the evidence presented didn't show a specific conscious intent on his part to harm Hattie Tuttle. And furthermore, they didn't believe his actions as, well, egregious as they were.
Still bad. Yeah.
Still bad, but they didn't reach that very high threshold of outrageousness needed to automatically imply a malicious state of mind. They essentially said, look, his conduct was negligent, maybe even grossly negligent, but it didn't cross that legal line into malicious behavior as we now define it for punitive damages.
So the $22,000 in punitive damages that was actually overturned in his case, even though his reckless driving caused a really serious accident and significant injuries.
That's precisely what happened. The court vacated or overturned the punitive damage award. They upheld the $50,000 in compensatory damages that was to cover Hattie Tuttle's losses.
Right, the direct harm.
The direct harm. But they made it crystal clear that Raymond's conduct, while the cause of those injuries, didn't meet the new legal requirement of malice needed for punishment beyond that compensation.
Mm.
It really underscores the court's emphasis on the defendant's state of mind and the character of their actions, not just how bad the outcome was. It raises a big question, doesn't it? What does this mean for future cases?
It definitely does. So we understand what the court decided and this new, stricter standard they put in place. But let's dig a little deeper into why the Maine Supreme Court went this route. What was their reasoning? What broader policy goals were they aiming for?
Yeah, the court actually spent a good amount of time, in their opinion, explaining the why. They acknowledged the long history of punitive damages, you know, in the common law, recognized their traditional role.
Sure.
But they also expressed some worries about how punitive damages had been applied in practice. They noted what they saw as a lack of clear, consistent standards.
Inconsistent application.
Exactly. Which they felt could lead to unpredictable, maybe excessive awards that didn't always serve the intended goals of punishment and deterrence effectively.
So they wanted to keep punitive damages as a tool, but make sure it was used more predictably, maybe reserved for only the really awful situations.
That's it, exactly. And that's where this heightened, clear, and convincing evidence standard becomes so critical. It's a significantly higher burden of proof for the plaintiff compared to the usual preponderance of the evidence standard in most civil cases.
Can you just quickly explain the difference there?
Sure. Preponderance basically means it's more likely than not, think slightly greater than 50% probability. Clear and convincing, though, that demands a much stronger showing. The evidence has to persuade the jury or judge that the truth of the facts asserted is highly probable. It's a much tougher hill to climb.
Wow, that really paints a picture of how much the court raised the bar. It sounds like they wanted to reserve punitive damages for only the most extreme cases, intentional wrongdoing, or truly outrageous behavior.
That's the absolute core of the policy shift in Tuttle v. Raymond. The court was deliberately moving away from a system where even really bad negligence, you know, gross negligence, could potentially trigger punitive damages.
Right.
Instead, they wanted to focus those extra penalties on cases where the defendant acted with clear malicious intent or engaged in conduct so far outside the bounds of acceptable behavior that malice could be strongly inferred. It's fascinating. They're essentially saying the focus should be on the why behind the action, not just the what of the outcome.
And the practical consequence, as we touched on, is likely fewer punitive damage awards in Maine after this ruling, just because it became so much harder to meet that strict legal test.
Precisely. It was a very conscious effort by the court to narrow the circumstances where juries could impose this extra layer of punishment beyond just making the victim whole for their direct losses. They wanted to prevent what they might have seen as an overreach or inconsistent use of these damages.
Let's just circle back quickly to Raymond's actions. We get that his speeding and running the red light didn't meet the new malice standard. But can you break down why the court saw it that way? What was missing in their view that kept it from being malicious?
The key, as we've been saying, is that critical legal distinction between recklessness and malice. The court essentially reasoned that even though Raymond's actions created a huge risk, and tragically, they did result in severe injuries, the evidence just didn't sufficiently show he had a specific conscious intent to cause that harm.
No proof he wanted to hit someone.
Right. Nor did the court find his actions, while definitely irresponsible and dangerous, were so utterly beyond the pale, so shocking, as to inherently scream malicious state of mind. There's a level of maybe deliberateness or extreme disregard that the court felt was missing in this specific case, even with the terrible consequences.
So just being incredibly careless, even if it leads to awful injuries, doesn't automatically equal malice in the eyes of the Maine Supreme Court.
That's a really important takeaway here. The court stressed that malice, under this new standard, needs either that direct intent to harm or conduct that is so far removed from how a reasonable person would act that it's basically seen as the equivalent of intentional harm.
Okay.
They specifically pointed out that even what we might call gross negligence, a very high degree of carelessness, still isn't enough for punitive damages in Maine, unless it escalates to that level of, say, wanton or vindictive behavior that strongly suggests a malicious motive or just complete indifference to causing harm.
So the clear message to future plaintiffs in Maine is, look, you can't just point to someone's really bad mistake, even one with horrible results. You have to be able to show this outrageous level of conduct that strongly implies a malicious mindset, not just a high degree of carelessness, if you want a shot at punitive damages.
Precisely. The legal focus shifted. It moved away from primarily looking at how bad the harm was and how negligent the person was to a much greater emphasis on figuring out the defendant's state of mind and the truly egregious nature of their actions.
So when we zoom out and look at the bigger picture, what are the lasting takeaways, the overall significance of Tuttle v. Raymond? Why should people, especially law students, still know about this case today?
Well, Tuttle v. Raymond remains a really significant, influential decision in Maine tort law. It fundamentally reshaped how punitive damages are understood and awarded there. Maybe the most important lasting impact is that it brought much greater predictability and clarity.
By setting that higher bar?
Exactly. By specifically linking punitive damages to proving malice by clear and convincing evidence, the court gave a more concrete, demanding standard. It helps both plaintiffs deciding whether to sue and defendants assessing their potential risk. And connecting this to the bigger picture, you know, this reflects a broader tension in law between compensating victims and punishing wrongdoers.
And for law students just starting to grapple with tort law, what's the key lesson they should pull from Tuttle v. Raymond?
Oh, it's a fantastic case study for law students. It really shows how courts balance competing policy goals within tort law. You clearly see that tension. Wanting to deter truly awful behavior with punishment versus the need for fairness, avoiding excessive punishment for conduct that, while negligent and harmful, maybe wasn't malicious. It also powerfully underscores how critical it is to understand and prove a defendant's state of mind when you're seeking punitive damages. The legal analysis goes beyond just the harmful actions. It digs into the why and the level of culpability. This case is just a great example of how legal standards evolve and how court decisions can really change the legal landscape.
So the core rule to really remember if you're dealing with Maine law is absolutely clear. Recklessness, even gross recklessness, is not the same as malice.
Not anymore, no.
To have a realistic shot at punitive damages, you need that clear and convincing evidence of either direct intent to harm or conduct. So outrageously unacceptable, it basically speaks for itself.
Exactly right. That distinction. That's the enduring legacy of the Maine Supreme Court's decision in Tuttle v. Raymond.
Well, this has been a truly fascinating deep dive into a really pivotal case in Maine law. It's quite remarkable, isn't it, how one traffic accident could lead to such a significant and lasting change in legal standards.
Absolutely. It really highlights the dynamic nature of the common law, how courts are constantly refining and adapting legal principles based on specific facts and changing ideas about justice and public policy.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Tuttle v. Raymond, the key learning is undeniable. In Maine, getting punitive damages means clearing a very high legal hurdle.
A high bar.
You have to demonstrate malice, not just recklessness or even gross negligence. That principle was firmly established by this landmark 1985 decision.
That's the essential takeaway, yes.
And that brings us to our final thought for you to consider. Given this heightened standard for punitive damages in Maine, how might it influence the strategies lawyers use in tort cases there? and maybe think bigger. What are the potential societal implications of focusing punitive awards so specifically on intentional or truly egregious misconduct? Does it make it harder to punish severely reckless behavior that still causes terrible harm? Definitely some interesting points to ponder. Thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.